It is the morning show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. Snowy owls are captivating. Big birds living up to their snowy white name. But fewer sightings are being reported in Wisconsin this winter, and we ask why. Call in with your questions about snowies, your sighting experiences. Welcome, 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Ryan Brady is a Natural Heritage Conservation Program biologist with the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. Ryan, welcome back to the Ideas Network.
Good morning, Kate. Thanks for having me.
Good morning. Well, tell us what your numbers are saying here in terms of sightings with snowy owls.
Well, as you mentioned, sightings are down this year compared to most recent years. We've only had a few dozen sightings around the state, somewhere in the 30s or so, compared to this time last year when there were over 140 different owls that were spotted. And in some of our really active years over the past decade, we've had several hundred seen at this point in the winter. And that's a pattern that's not just consistent in Wisconsin, but also throughout most of the lower 48 this year.
So we naturally ask, what causes snowy owl populations to fluctuate then?
Well, snowy owl numbers in any given year really depend a lot on a small rodent called a lemming. Think of it like a supersized mouse or vole found in the Canadian Arctic where the snowy owl nests. And the snowy owl nesting success will vary depending on the numbers of those lemmings, which can vary themselves from year to year. So in summers when lemming numbers are high, the owls will produce many babies. And those babies will ultimately leave the nest and disperse south. And that leads to what we call eruption years here in Wisconsin. When the lemming numbers are low, the owls don't raise very many babies. Some won't even nest at all because there isn't a good food source to feed them. And that means there's far fewer owls on the landscape to move south during the wintertime. So this particular year, although we don't have great data on lemmings from northern Canada, it appears that the lemming numbers were very low across a wide swath of the breeding range. That led to low nest success and productivity, which means fewer owls to move south.
So you mentioned eruption, where larger than usual numbers of birds come our way. Are snowies prone to these eruption tendencies?
Yes. We see eruptions periodically. It's not a hard and fast rule, but somewhere around every 4 years. And sometimes you get a back-to-back eruption. But in that 3 to 5 year range is when we tend to see them. So the last one we saw was, last year was kind of a moderate one. Prior to that was 2017. And then prior to that was 2013 and 14. So you can see that kind of periodicity to it. And that's related to the periodicity of the lemming numbers. The lemmings build in numbers over a few years and then ultimately crash in population, and the owl populations follow suit.
Are lemming populations being affected by climate change? Is that an issue?
Yeah, good question. Good question. As you can imagine, where these birds spend their summers are remote areas, very difficult to access. There's not a lot of research going on. So there hasn't been a great deal of work to pinpoint the extent of the impacts on lemming populations, particularly here in North America. And so we think that these lemming cycles may be disrupted by climate change, but we don't know that at this point. Snowy owls, especially during the summer, not very well known. And as such, that's a bit of a barrier to kind of developing conservation strategies for a species that has declined 50% or so in the last half century.
Okay, need more research there. We heard from Jeff in Delafield, called in to ask, do wind turbines have an effect on snowy owls or any owl populations for that matter?
At this time, we don't know of any wide-scale effects of wind turbines. Certainly, there are cases of owls flying into wind turbines. And so there is a small degree of mortality associated with them. But we don't have any evidence at this point that they are a major player with most owls. With that said, collisions with different types of structures are one of the primary threats for snowy owls. Airplanes, vehicles, other types of infrastructure, communication towers, wires, things like that, can be a big problem here on the wintering grounds, obviously less so farther north where there's less development.
Can you just stop for a moment and just expand on the enormous geographic territory these snowy owls cover?
Well, it's a species that's distributed globally in the, across the Arctic during the summer and then moves south during the winter. And they can cover thousands of miles. They're very nomadic. During the summer, they might be homebodies, if you will, if they found a good a good stash of lemmings somewhere. But if there isn't a good food source, they're really moving around. And so they can cover thousands of miles in the course of 1 year, and not just north to south, but also east to west. Some birds that have spent time here in Wisconsin may end up even over in Russia, you know, crossing over the Bering Sea. So they're very well suited to move around looking for a dynamic prey source.
They know how to adapt, sounds like. Talking about snowy owls with DNR conservation biologist Ryan Brady, you can join in at 800-642-1234. So Ryan, where is the best place to look for a snowy owl? How do we go about doing that?
In general, their habitat is open country. So you want to go to open habitats like grassland, wetland complexes. Airports actually are mimic the tundra in a way because they're treeless and wide open. So they do tend to attract snowies, which can be an issue. But those are the types of habitats you want to visit. Head on out any time of day, really, but your best chances are at dawn and dusk to find them. Now, specifically this year, we don't have many owls around. There's only a few hot spots. There's a few birds around the airport in Superior in the northwest corner, Crex Meadows State Wildlife Area, which is a great destination for just about anything, has a few snowy owls this year. And then there's a good swath of owls kind of running in the southeast quarter of the state, from Green Bay down through the Freedom area, Green Lake County, into the northern part of Dane County. So if you go to ebird.org, you can find a map that will show recent sightings, and you might be able to go find one yourself.
You mentioned eBird, and wondering just about the efforts around citizen science and these crowdfunded research projects. What is that helpful to you as a conservation biologist?
Oh, absolutely. Extremely valuable. eBird has been instrumental in providing data on bird populations, both in distribution, but also density and change over at least a short time period, because eBird's relatively new. Great example, we recently completed the Wisconsin Breeding Bird Atlas Project. We're in the process of finalizing the results and working on a publication for that. But that utilized thousands of citizen scientists all across the state to accomplish something we would never have otherwise been able to do. And that is cover a lot of ground in a short period of time to document all the nesting birds across the state during the breeding season. So there's a lot of power, especially if you live in a place that's somewhat low populated, where you can make contributions that aren't being made in places like Madison and Milwaukee and such that have a lot of contributions already.
What are the biggest threats in Wisconsin facing migratory birds?
Well, facing migratory birds in general, that's probably a little bit different than the threats facing snowy owls. Mm-hmm. For migratory birds in general, I mean, well, all birds, it's loss of habitat is the most critical factor. Beyond that, there's a couple key things, and one of them is collisions with windows and other types of, you know, like we talked about before, communication towers, other structures. And it's not just windows, it's sky-rise buildings. And, you know, big cities and such where you might have large numbers hit in one kill. It's the 5 or 6 or 10 birds that might hit a window at residential homes, too. The cumulative impact is huge. And then, believe it or not, outdoor cats, free ranging cats have significant impact to the point of, you know, over 1 billion birds per year causing mortality on native bird populations.
That's really significant. And so in terms of wrangling cats, keeping them indoors is really important here for the bird population.
It is. It's a contentious issue. We all love cats. The reality is they're not native predators in our ecosystems, and they're having a significant impact on bird populations. But like I said, that is an issue that has been difficult to tackle for a variety of reasons. But cats indoors, if you can.
Is there, as we close here in just a few moments, is there a migratory bird you're excited to see this spring?
Oh, I'm always excited to see anyone that's next to arrive. The spring is such a wonderful time to just constantly see new things day after day. And so far, we've already had some sandhill cranes arriving in southeast Wisconsin, few red-winged blackbirds trickling in. We've got eagles starting the nest, and great horned owls are already on eggs probably. And if you're in the north, you know, you might be seeing some trumpeter swans starting to trickle back. And birds are starting to sing again. So it's a wonderful time of year if you're a bird watcher expert or just kind of casual backyard watcher alike.
Ryan, thank you for joining us.
Thanks so much for having me.
Ryan Brady is a Natural Heritage Conservation Program biologist with the Wisconsin DNR. You're listening to The Morning Show on the Ideas Network.